This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, nasta'inuhu, nasta'khiruhu, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina, wa yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. قال الله تعالى في تنزيل العزيز بعد نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال ولا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل وتدلوا بها إلى الحكام لتأكلوا فريقا من أموال الناس بالإثم وأنتم تعلمون. And the last ayah that I just read in my introduction of the khutbah, this is ayah number 188 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah SWT says, the translation of his words are, do not consume your property wrongfully, nor use it to bribe judges, intending sinfully and knowingly to consume parts of other people's property. This ayah is a very important ayah, and the reason why I chose it is for two reasons. One is for what the ayah has to say, and the other reason is where the ayah is placed in the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. What the ayah is saying is telling the believers that just like we think, or just like the pillars of Islam, the rituals of Islam are to be practiced and devotion to them is expected, just in the same manner, there is an element of ethics and morality that transcends the mosque, that goes outside the mosque and deals with the way we do business with each other, particularly business, because that's where it's easy for people to, you know, do things here and there, bill somebody a little bit more, rip this person off, short-chain that person. It's always easy to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala particularly addresses those transactions, al-mu'amalat, and He says that do not وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not consume each other's money wrongfully. Don't rip each other off. This idea of consuming property or consuming wealth wrongfully, the scholars, for example, Ibn Ashur says that this is basically two levels. One is where everybody agrees, whether you're a Muslim or not, that this was wrong. For example, somebody stealing from somebody ripping them off, giving them a service, but not really providing the entirety of it and charging them for the full price. Those are things everybody agrees is wrong. So that is something that comes under the ayah. Do not do that when you're doing your business. Also, what comes under the ayah is things that the Sharia has made haram. Things or transactions, more precisely, that the Sharia has made forbidden. And that is transactions that are interest-bearing transactions, transactions that are, or trades that are a zero-sum game. A zero-sum game is one party wins and one party loses. For example, an example of that is shorting a stock. Okay, those kind of zero-sum transactions, generally the Sharia prohibits. The reason for that is because in the way they are, one person is going to lose and one person is going to win, and that is aqlul mal bil batil. And that is something that is prohibited as well. Both of these categories, and the details are not the point here. I'm just giving you examples that there's books written about what things are haram, what kind of transactions are haram. This is not the scope of our discussion here. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that all types of ripping people off, taking advantage of people, exploiting people is impermissible. Do not do that. And then He comments again on what تُجْرُ بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. A second type of transactions that are haram, where a person is giving a bribe to a judge, to a person of power, to someone in authority. And even though, like Ibn Ashur comments, he says, even though, you know, أن المعطي الرشوة آثم مع أنه لم يأكل مالا بل أكله غيره. He says the person who's giving the bribe is actually losing money. Somebody else is gaining money. But that point is so critical that Allah chose of all the haram transactions to highlight that particular point in the ayah. Because that is systemic corruption. The whole system is then rotten. When these doors of bribery, these doors where the powerful can get whatever they want because they have money, those particular aspects that ruin societies, that was highlighted of all the haram transactions. This is Quran that we read and we hear all the time. The Quran talks about these things in very clear, very unambiguous terms. It doesn't leave much room for wiggling here. It's very clear. All of these things are impermissible. The idea of exploiting others is impermissible. The idea of you being wealthy and having privilege and then taking advantage of people who are underprivileged and poor is impermissible. These are all things that are very clear cut in the Sharia. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. As long as, once we know this, this is what Allah expects of us. This is point number one that I mentioned. This is what the ayah says. And it's a beautiful thing. And there's much we can discuss about this. There's so many applications of this in our times, in our situation that we find ourselves to be in the countries that are countries of our origin, many, many places. You can take this ayah and discuss it, you know, until the cows come home. And still we would have many, many more things to learn from it. But what I wanted to discuss more was where the ayah is placed in Surah Al-Baqarah. The ayah number 188, comes right after the ayah of fasting. In fact, the entire passage of Ramadan. The passage of Ramadan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the rulings of Ramadan, what to do if you're traveling, if you're sick. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. This is the month of the Quran. When Allah talks about dua, when Allah talks about how we are not supposed to eat until the, you know, or once the sun has risen. حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر. Okay. All those rulings are described in the previous preceding ayat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's like a sudden turn. He turns and talks about this. Don't rip each other off. Do not exploit people. Don't take advantage of people. Don't make the system corrupt and rotten. Ibn Ashur rahimahullah, the great Mufassir, says, there is a very subtle and very beautiful link between the two. And the link perhaps is that Allah told us something that's haram in the ayat before, eating and drinking while you're fasting. We all know that. We all understand that. We've all been through that. Alhamdulillah. But then he says, فَعُطِفَ عَلَيْهِ أَكْلٌ آخَرٌ مُحَرَّمٌ وَهُوَ أَكْلُ الْمَالِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. He says, just like consumption of food is haram during fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now links to that another haram consumption. And that is consumption of illegal property, or consuming someone's property wrongfully, taking their money wrongfully. Those two concepts are linked. The point being, brothers and sisters, and this is an important point for us to think about, this is food for thought. This is food for thought, something that I hope we think about. And when we think about it, change will happen. This is how change happens. You're convinced of something, you're moved by something, you think about it, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the tawfiq to make that change happen. The food for thought here is as follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right after Ramadan, is telling us your business practices better be correct. And this is the expectation from the Sharia, from the law, Islamic law, that our ritual worship will transcend the masjid and make us better people. It will make us better people inside the masjid, it will make us better people outside the masjid. It will make us devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These rituals, the salah, the Quran, the qiyam, the fasting, is an act of devotion to Allah. Then being honest in business is an act of devotion to Allah as well, that transcends the masjid, goes beyond the masjid. That's the expectation. Just like Ramadan was a time for change, where we changed everything. Our schedules were turned upside down. Right? I mean, if you're not fasting, you will not be waking up at 3 a.m. to eat anything. Isn't that right? I'm sure when you were the first day of Eid, when you were brushing your teeth, I'm sure you felt a little weird brushing your teeth or having a sip of water. Because we've changed literally everything about our lives for the month of Ramadan. Even the smallest things, we have become very, very careful of. That care, that consciousness of doing something, knowing Allah is watching, needs to go beyond Ramadan. It needs to go beyond Ramadan. And it needs to go beyond our ritual worships. It needs to go outside of it, to our akhlaq, to our manners, through the mu'amalat, the way we deal with each other, to the way we speak, to what we say, to what we stand for. All of those things need to have, there's change that ripples through all of them because of a Ramadan. And if you see that that is happening, that is a sign of a good, accepted Ramadan, inshallah. Where change outside the masjid is taking place. This is not a new concept, or this is not an isolated concept, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links worship to something outside of worship. This is one instance that I just mentioned about fasting. In Surah number 29, Surah Ankabut, Allah says, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab wa aqim as-salat. Inna as-salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Recite the Quran. Read the Quran. And establish the prayer. These are the most beautiful ritual acts of devotion that we have. Reciting the book of Allah, the literal words of Allah, and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then what is supposed to happen? What change takes place? The change that takes place is the way we act outside of salah changes. We are transformed when done right. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Salah stops a person from shamelessness and from evil. Shamelessness is, al-fahsha is something that if somebody saw you doing it, you'd be embarrassed. You'd be embarrassed that they saw you doing that thing. And al-munkar is any type of evil. Lying, cheating, bribery, exploitation. Any type of evil is al-munkar. It's a general word. Salah and Quran, when done right, is supposed to stop us from those evils, deter us. Al-Qurtubi says, for example, it's not that the desire for fahsha goes away. It's not that you all of a sudden don't feel like doing something that's wrong. That doesn't happen. You're human beings after all. But then the desire is lessened. The intensity of the desire is softened. And the control that a person finds themselves is higher. They have more control to exercise when those situations arise. This is what a salah, when done right, when prayer done right, that's what's supposed to achieve. So the point is, brothers and sisters, our fasting, our Ramadan, which is 2 weeks ago, we ended Ramadan, needs to have, the gains of Ramadan have to transcend Ramadan. It has to go beyond Ramadan and changing us, changing our devotion and commitment to Allah. But just as importantly, if not more importantly, changing the way we behave outside the masjid. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه غفور رحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وملا أما بعد. Keeping the gains of Ramadan, keeping the momentum going after Ramadan is very critical, brothers and sisters. It's expected that there's going to be a drop off. It is natural that there's going to be a drop off. We cannot operate the way we were operating in Ramadan throughout the year. If that was the case, Ramadan would not be special. There'd be nothing special about Ramadan. Ramadan is so beautiful and so special Ramadan is so beautiful and so special because it shows us what we can do in the best case scenario, what the best version of ourselves looks like. That's what it shows. Even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was described by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said that the Messenger of Allah, كَانَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ بِالْخَيْرِ, he was the most generous person. Okay, so he's already at an all-time high. And in Ramadan, وَأَجْوَدُ مَا يَكُونَ, he will be even more generous in Ramadan. The point being that there is a drop-off after Ramadan and before Ramadan. And Ramadan is supposed to be the best case scenario or the best version of ourselves. So that's fine to expect us to be, or for us to have that expectation of setting ourselves up for failure. But the point or continuing the gains of Ramadan is an important discussion, and it's an important thing that we should think about, and things to do we should do to implement that momentum, for that momentum to continue going forward. One of the things that we can do is take a very simple approach to the matter. Take an approach of, say, it's difficult for us to come to the masjid with the same frequency and the same fervor as in Ramadan. But I think it's easy to come for Isha prayer, unless you're working or unless something is happening. But Isha prayer, everything is said and done, all things are done, your night is about to end. It's not difficult, it's just a matter of priorities. It's a matter of priorities, making it a priority to come to the masjid. As long as we have that particular aspect, coming to the masjid just for Isha, do you know how many beautiful benefits there are for that? Every unit of measurement that we come to the masjid, there's a reward in that. And there's a sin forgiven for that. When we come to the masjid, when we pray, the reward of praying in the congregation is 27 times the normal prayer. And this 27 times is not hyperbole. There's words or there's numbers in Arabic that are hyperbole. Sab'een, 70. 70 in Arabic, in context, doesn't always mean exactly 70. It's hyperbole, many, many, many times, for example. Alf, 1,000, is not always 1,000 in some contexts. It's hyperbole. You know, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr, yawaddu ahaduhum law yu'ammar alfa sana. This man wants to live 1,000 years. What he wants to live is forever. The point being, numbers in Arabic sometimes are hyperbole, but 27 is not one of those numbers. 27 literally means 27. So it's like you pray one salah in the congregation, that's 5 days worth of salahs, if you think about it. The reward of 5 days worth of salah. Just that one aspect. Coming to the masjid, there's forgiveness. Coming to the masjid and praying, the reward is multiplied. And then most importantly, it is the establishing of the prayer with the community together. There was a man who was living far from the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, and he would always be there for the salah. And somebody asked him, why don't you get a donkey or something, so you can get a ride to the masjid and make sure that you're not stressed by the heat and whatnot. He says, because I want this to be in my record. I want all my footsteps, every single day, to be my legacy when I die. It's a matter of priorities. A shahid, the point to notice is it's a priority. He made it a priority to come to the masjid. And he was proud of it, and he saw that as what he leaves behind in the world and what he prepares for his akhirah, the sahabi radiallahu anhu. So same way, we have to see this action of coming to the mosque, establishing prayer, praying together, meeting our brothers and sisters, as an act that we're preparing for our akhirah, that we're leaving for our as a legacy in this world. That's how we have to see it. And if done consistently, inshaAllah, then we'll see that momentum of Ramadan, we will feel the beauty, that joy continue throughout Ramadan. That's one suggestion. I have two more quickly for you. The other two are, say, we were doing a lot of things in Ramadan. Okay, we were fasting in Ramadan. Let's do 10% of that. 10% of 30 days is what? 3 days? Let's try to fast 3 days a month. Every month, 3 days, we just find the time to fast. Whether it's the weekend, whatever it is, just 3 days. If you can do Monday, great. Thursday, great. Monday or Thursday, even better. The 13th, 14th, 15th of the Hijri calendar, all good, but it doesn't matter when you do it, as long as you do something, subhanAllah, just that 3 days. Abu Huraira says, my friend, Awsani Khalili, my friend told me to do 3 things and never leave them. One is to fast 3 days every single month. Number 2 is to make sure I pray Witr. And the 3rd is that I pray Duha. He's referring to the Prophet ﷺ. He's referring to the Prophet as his friend. ﷺ. The point being, brothers and sisters, the act of doing what we were doing in Ramadan, but just breaking it over for the rest of the year, being consistent with it, 10% of it, that's all that's required. That, inshallah, will keep the momentum, will keep those gains. And then, most importantly, will keep us in that state where the transformation that we're experiencing can transcend the masjid and transcend our akhlaq, improve our manners, improve our etiquettes, improve the way we deal with each other. The Messenger of Allah said, "Habul amali lillahi adwamuha." The most loved actions to Allah, the dearest actions to Allah, the ones that are most consistent, wa in qalla, even if they're small. So post-Ramadan gains has to be, we think about how we have to change and improve our character. That's a constant thought. Constantly we're thinking in that direction and trending upwards, inshallah. But then after that, we put in consistent action. We put in consistent things that we do, like coming to the masjid every day, like fasting 3 times a month. These consistency, or these actions with consistency, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to do good deeds and to continue our good deeds after Ramadan until the next Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to establish the salah in the masjid, and then the masjid remains packed during Ramadan and after Ramadan. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwalin wa fil akhirin. Wa salli ala Muhammadin fil mala'il a'la ila yawmiddin. Allahumma ahyina ala sunnatihi wa mitna ala millatihi. وحشرنا في زمرته واصبرنا من حوضه يا رب العالمين اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Who Allah send your praise and blessings upon the Prophet ﷺ, and allow us to live and die like him, and raise us in his company on the day of judgment, and give us a drink from his pond on the day of judgment. Ya Rabbi Alameen. O Allah, give us the best in this life and the best in the next life, and save us from the fire of hell. Ameen Ya Rabbi Alameen. Waqimu Salam.